It's one of the things that irritates me more than anything else. And you think I'm crazy. When the electricity works. And invariably it is because somebody does a software update that doesn't sit well with your computer. And it's one of those things they push out, your software just automatically updates, and then you feel the anger. Because all I wanted to do is be the Bruce Lee, a Bruce Lee, a Bruce Inc. Use it as a tool when I Bruce Lee. Hit the lottery. President just got done speaking. It is, what is it, 16 years? Almost to the minute. That Flight 93 went down in Pennsylvania. You know, and I talk about courageous things in life. Those people, that whole come on, let's roll thing. Comes from Flight 93. They weren't having it. And they did something about it. And you know, there's in an era that we've been, it seems like what we'd see on a daily basis is the exact opposite of the behavior that we saw on September 11th. What we see are the stupid and selfish among us. And what we saw on September 11th was what is always the best. What we've seen in Houston, it's the best of this country. And that is, nobody asks you what tribe you're from. Nobody asks you what religion you're affiliated with. We don't do it like that. And so all you hear is the many accents, the many dialects. You see the different skin colors. You see the different body types of the melting pot. Well, there's John Kelly. You know what? It always makes me smile to see my friends. I giggle when I see it. I don't giggle. I laugh. You know, here's Joe Dunford. Right? I'd love to be there, walk up to him and say, don't look back. The Yankees are coming for you guys. You know it too. And then, then you'd get that. And Secretary Mattis there making remarks as well, along with the president, the chief of staff there. You know the chief of staff's going to be there because he's going to see his boys. And I would imagine the commandant of the Marine Corps is there. I have not seen him as of yet. So September 11th, a day that changed a lot of lives, changed my life, changed the life of my family. I was doing radio in Grand Forks, North Dakota, minding my own business, and that morning, and walked into work and getting ready to go on the air, and one of the I saw the salespeople were in their little office. I probably five of them shared an office, and there was a TV in there. And I walked by into my office, and I said, "What are you guys doing?" And they said, "A plane crashed in the World Trade Center." You know, and it goes back to, you know, the whole the World War II B-17 or whatever flew into the Empire State Building. Is it foggy? No, it's an absolute clear day. Well, what kind of plane was it? Well, they're not sure. I said, you know, it like a little Cessna or something? I said, no, they think it might be a FedEx plane or something. Like, what? And so we were standing there chatting when the second plane flew in, you know, and like everybody else, I mean, I'll never forget that. When you watched it, you were standing there watching it live, and your jaw just hit the ground, and you just said, somebody's doing this on purpose. Somebody's attacking the country. And then the events that unfold that morning just You know, it's it was a what tremendous uncertainty I think that everybody felt, and so and then you went on the air, and you tried to capture the different reactions and talk to different people and how would this affect the, you know, us and what would happen next, and we were going to go to war with somebody, whoever was behind this, that it's, you know, we would go to war with them. So. 16 years ago, it doesn't seem like, well, maybe if I thought about it, maybe it does seem like that. Certainly would change my life, 3 combat deployments later, a year and a quarter into All Marine Radio. So, so today is a day that we remember. And then, you know, I think that what's been a consistent theme in the program that I hope you don't get tired of hearing, is, one of the distressing themes of the program is that the how do I say it? We remember this date, right? How can we not have a budget, right? How can the basic things that are supposed to be are what our federally elected officials do, how can they not be done? Why is that going on? So, I mean, I find that extremely troublesome. Why do you not have to live up to your oath? That's what you contribute. Why don't you have to do it? And so today's a somber day. We'll certainly mark it with all the respect that it deserves around the country as we remember Americans. And again, you know, think about the people in the World Trade Center. They didn't do anything to anybody. All they did was they showed up for work that day. And for that, a bunch of idiots making a statement to the world who wouldn't take on the American military will... you know, took on innocent civilians. I will never understand that. I mean, like most people, you know, I watch it. I don't understand it. How taking the lives of innocent people, you know, many of which are not remotely associated, you know, with the people. You know, for instance, the thing in Barcelona, that was largely done against tourists. That wasn't the government of Spain. So, you know, those people and what happened in New York City. But again, I would imagine that it's fairly distressing for people that take on the nation to see the response of our nation anyway, which is it lacks color, it lacks divisiveness. And in times of crisis, you see literally the best that people have to offer. And again, we've seen it in Houston. We'll see it in Florida. So let me tell you what we're going to do. John Ubaldi is down in Tampa. So we're going to talk to him, see how things are going in Tampa. I talked to him a little bit ago. He's very, very optimistic, and he thought that the state and the governor did everything they could possibly do to prepare the state for a storm of this magnitude. So we'll talk to him. The other thing I want to do is I want to do like an interplay with you with you contributing. I want to play the interview that Steve Bannon did, and I want to get your reaction to it. So you can email, you can, you know, you can text if you care to, and just your comments about it as we listen to it. And again, I had my friends that called me last night. Mac, are you watching this? And I said, no. I said, I'll play it in the morning. So we'll listen to that interview. He gets into General Kelly. But that's not the reason. I'm just the dynamic of the presidency is changing. And Donald Trump showed that last week. And the two-party system that has, how should I say, that has led the nation to where it is today, which I believe, turned into a detriment because of the way money flows and a number of other things, and were it within my power, I would do away with the two-party system. Because we have what we have now, which is a non-functioning government, a non-functioning legislative branch. Because of that R or D that's associated with your name. Put I next to everybody's name, take away the political contributions, go there and do the work of the people. Oh, well, that's not our system. Then we should change the system. So, anyway, I'm mindful of that today, right? You know, we're contemplating war with North Korea. The aviation branch of the American military is not in good shape. Why not? Because it got used the fuck up in Iraq and Afghanistan. It didn't get replaced. And part of that is because Congress and the whole sequestration thing. Like, at one point do they have to be held accountable? How do you hold them accountable? Elect another one with an RD next to the name? That's not accountability. That's just the merry-go-round. So, anyway, we'll get the program started. So, I want to talk to them. I want to talk to them. I want to listen to Banyan after we talk to Ubaldi, and then we'll talk to the Gunner. Gunner last Friday, he bombs me. Live on the air with, I didn't go to sleep. I didn't sleep well last night. What, migraines? No, man. I went to the emergency room. I thought I was having a heart attack. What? Then he drops the nitroglycerin thing. I'm like, are you kidding? I don't know if you listened, but I said, Mike, you know we're on the air, right? Oh, yeah. I'm like, what are you just sharing with the group, for God's sakes? Shut up. What are you doing? So, anywho, we'll talk to him. We'll see how his weekend went and whatnot. So good morning to you. Hope you had a good weekend. September 11th, a day that changed a lot of lives in our country, took a lot of lives in our country. And there's a lot of people walking around with amputations because of it. And we're still not done concluding the fight in Afghanistan. So we marked that commemoration today. Make sure you take a minute to remember the husbands, wives, children, family members that were affected not only by the events of September 11th, but how that reverberated through the country, the young people that went off to fight and who gave their lives, limbs, and some of their sanity. So it's an expensive proposition that was triggered on September 11th. Good morning to you. The United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Boom. Now, normally I place some motivation here, but today's a little bit different, September 11th.
Can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
The track of Hurricane Irma, if you haven't seen it, it's up the, which was the track that was least desired, is up the west coast of the Florida, through southwest Georgia, and kind of right through the center, diagonally, southeast to northwest of Alabama. And then ending up right on the western edge of Tennessee. So that's where it's tracking right now. We'll talk about that, John Ubaldi, in a few minutes. Currently, mostly cloudy and 66 in Quantico. Cloudy and 70 at Camp Lejeune. Sunny and 67 in Granbury, Texas. Big Timber, Montana. Nice morning. Sunny and 57 up there where Montana Man is. 29 Palms, cloudy and 78. Camp Pendleton, mostly sunny and 67. Okinawa, cloudy, dark, 85. Syria is warmed up, at least in terms of temperature. Sunny and 101 in Syria. Afghanistan's cooled down a little bit in the Marja vicinity. Home of what was formerly known as Camp Leatherneck. It's called Camp Shorebach now. 93 degrees. Sun is down. It's a clear sky. The home of All Marine Radio. Partly sunny. 68. Looking for a high of 84. We'll check some news headlines. And then we'll talk to John Ubaldi. That coming up next on a... on a day that we remember here on All Marine Radio, and that is the events of 16 years ago. More of that show coming up next.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Yeah. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts at 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global South Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. $7.29 here on a Monday. You know, it's amazing. You look at New York City today. I don't know that you need a whole lot of words when you watch memorial services. And having been to a lot of them, you know, what you have now is you have the children. You have grandchildren speaking about people that they've never met. You just need to see the look of the face and the different locations. The I remember the first time I saw the hole in New York City. I was just blown away by it. I think I saw it in 2007. I took Patrick. We went to Yankee Stadium to see the Yankees, and I was. I mean, it was huge. It was huge. And if I've told this story before, forgive me, but I'll tell it real quick. We flew into Newark. So we get there in the evening on, I think, a Thursday. So Friday morning, we're going to head over to the city, hang out, bomb around, have lunch, and then go up to Yankee Stadium, watch batting practice, blah, 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 blah. So, I don't know. We get on the train. And so we're talking. And, you know, we're kind of New York City stupid, right? So we take the Port Authority train from Newark, downtown Newark. And we're just chatting, and all of a sudden, I could see sun coming into the cars in front of us. So we're talking. I'm like, well, what is that? Are we coming out of the subway? Like, what's that? And so what had happened was we were going in, you know, to the World Trade Center. Well, we didn't really look at it. Like, you know, I don't even know it said World Trade Center on the stop. Maybe it did. Maybe it didn't. But we were trying. We're trying to get to Yankee Stadium. Well, we go to here, and then we get off here, and then we go north. We go uptown. And so we're talking. All of a sudden, you know, the sun, like, gets closer, and then we look, and you're looking, and you're like, what is that? And then all of a sudden, it's like, boom, like a punch to the face. You're staring into the cavern of what used to be the World Trade Center. And in that hole, if you took the Port Authority train in there, it curled into the station, which was the train that got buried there that day. And you were staring at it. And it's jaw dropping. Literally, I don't know another way. We just sat there and stared at it. And so, we walked out, and then we walked to a place, and there was fencing all around it. There's cyclone fencing. So we walked across the street, and I can't remember, there was a store. I bought a pair of Bermuda shorts there because it was hot and humid. My favorite. Vice President speaking now and getting ready to speak. We'll see if we can grab his remarks here in a second. And we'll talk to you, Baldy, after that. Mike Pence speaking right now.
Turned that he was gone.
Yeah, the so we walked up and we're on the steps, and that, now you can see into it, and it's not, I mean, it's a New York City block, for God's sakes. And I just remember, and I'd been to 2007, so yeah, I'd been to Iraq twice by then. And I just looked, and I thought, you know, these people didn't do anything to these idiots. Anything. 3,000 Americans that went to work. And so I looked into that hole, and I got tears in my eyes, and Patrick was with me, and he looked at me, you know, and just, you know, you kids get kind of quiet. They know that you've got stuff percolating inside of you that they may or may not want to hear. And, you know, and he's very cool about it. And, I just said, you know what? I'm just glad I helped kill some of the people that were affiliated with this shit, because these people didn't do anything to deserve this. Well, we'll listen to Mike Pence here for a few minutes.
Their families who lost their lives at the World Trade Center in New York City. As the president said just moments ago, we grieve with every family of the innocent souls who were murdered by terrorists that day. And we will never forget what happened on September 11th, 2001. Today we pause as a nation not so much to remember tragedy as to celebrate heroism and patriotism. But permit me to say that on this day, as Gordy said before, our hearts and our prayers are also with our fellow Americans in Florida and throughout the region who suffered loss in the winds and waters of Hurricane Irma. At this very hour, first responders and new citizen heroes are being forged among the people of Florida. And as the president has said, I say again, to those affected by Hurricane Irma, we are with you. We will stay with you, and we will be with you every day after this tempest passes to restore, recover, and rebuild. Everyone remembers where they were on this day 16 years ago. A mom rousing her children to get ready for school. A farmer wrapping up the morning chores. A coal miner finishing the third shift and heading home. As a new member of Congress, I was going through my normal workday routine at the United States Capitol when I learned of the attacks in New York City and at the Pentagon. I will always remember the scenes of that day, watching the Capitol complex being evacuated. It was as though the building was literally hemorrhaging with people running in every direction. I found myself just across the street from the U.S. Capitol eventually, on the top floor of the headquarters of the Capitol Police Chief. I was there with leaders of the House and Senate. Shortly after I arrived, the chief of police set the phone back down and informed the leaders gathered there that there was a plane inbound to the Capitol, and he said it was 12 minutes out. In that moment, the room became silent, and as people began to make plans, I found myself looking out the window, where just across the street was the Capitol Dome, with that majestic Statue of Freedom standing atop it. A dome that's a symbol of the ideals of this nation, of freedom and democracy for all the world. So we waited. It was the longest 12 minutes of my life. But it turned to 13 minutes. Then 14. And then we were informed that the plane had gone down in a field in Pennsylvania. In the days ahead, like every American, we would learn the story of the 40 heroes of Flight 93, men and women who looked evil squarely in the eye, and without regard to their personal safety, they rushed forward to save lives. They were mothers and fathers, your brothers and sisters, sons and daughters from every walk of life, of every background. Mark Bingham was on his way to be an usher in his college friend's wedding. C.C. Lyles was living her childhood dream to be a flight attendant in the wake of a career in law enforcement. Lauren Grand Colas carried the spark of life within her, an unborn child, 3 months along. And Bill Cashman, himself a former Army paratrooper with the 101st Airborne, had actually helped to build the World Trade Center with his own two hands. And there were so many others whose names we just heard echo into the wind this morning. They were ordinary people, but on that day they became extraordinary. We all know the story. Flight 93 took off at 8:42, departing Newark to San Francisco, when 46 minutes later, terrorists seized control. At 9:35, the plane diverted toward Washington, D.C. The passengers called their loved ones, only to find out what was happening across the country. They learned what the rest of America knew. The World Trade Center had been struck. The Pentagon had been hit only a few moments after they were hijacked. They figured out that the terrorists intended to use their plane for the same purpose. But as Tom Burnett told his wife on the phone, "We're going to do something." And they did. The men and women of Flight 93 began to join together. They devised a plan in those short moments. They knew their objective. They not only planned, but history records that they prayed. Together with Lisa Jefferson, a phone operator on the ground below, we're told they prayed the Lord's Prayer. And recited those ancient words, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." At 9:57, after only 29 minutes, Todd Beamer spoke those words that America and the world will never forget. "Let's roll." They charged the cockpit. They took hold of their faith. And 6 minutes later, at 10:03, Flight 93 plummeted here to the earth. The brave men and women aboard sacrificed their lives for the country we call home. We gather here today because the men and women of Flight 93 are heroes. And this beautiful memorial stands as a testament to the American people's undying reverence for their service and sacrifice. Each of their 40 names are etched into this marble. They're carved into the memory of the American people as well, even as they're seared into the hearts of you that were left behind. The Bible tells us that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and to the families of the fallen here. That'll be our prayer for you today. You honor us by your presence. And as the President said this morning, you honor our heroes. You renew our courage. And you strengthen us all. Today, as a nation, we mourn with you. We remember with you. And we look forward to the day when we will hear the chimes in this place, in the tower of voices. We'll turn the whisper of the wind into a heroic call to action. It will remember them and echo across this field and across America for generations to come. At 93 feet, that tower of voices that will be completed by this time next year will honor the heroes of Flight 93, and that soaring structure will hold those 40 chimes, each with a different musical note to symbolize the voices of the 40 men and women we remember today. The notes, when played together, I'm told, will form a perfect harmony. Just as in their final moments, the men and women, Flight 93, worked together to defend freedom. The American people will forever be inspired by their courage and resolve. We honor them by remembering them. And we honor them by ensuring that we do all in our power as a nation to prevent such evil from ever reaching our shores again. As President Trump has reminded us, we are we are in the midst of a war between good and evil. And the first battle in that war took place in the skies above us and ended in this grassy meadow. We cannot hallow this place beyond what the heroes of Flight 93 have already done. When the plane went down, the heroes aboard it were the first of a new generation of Americans to rise up as citizen soldiers in what would come to be known as the global war on terror. It is remarkable to think that in the wake of their service and sacrifice, America itself experienced a rebirth of unity, of purpose, and a rededication to our most sacred ideal of freedom. And every day for 16 years, their actions have inspired many more of our fellow citizens to stand up, to step forward, and to follow in their heroic service. The president said today, America cannot be intimidated. And in the aftermath of September 11th, we've seen tens of thousands of Americans step forward to serve their communities and protect our families and defend our freedom. They've donned the uniform of first responders, firefighters, police officers, and more than 5 million Americans have stepped forward to serve in the armed forces of the United States of America since September 11th.
You listen to the Vice President of the United States speaking in Shanksville, Pennsylvania right now. John Ubaldi, standing by. We'll talk to him in a few minutes.
Rallied together and charged forward to meet the enemy on our terms, on their soil. And we will always cherish the memory of the nearly 7,000 Americans who have given their lives on the field of battle since that day 16 years ago today. Like the heroes of Flight 93, we will never forget their service, their sacrifice, or the families they left behind. But we must remind ourselves on this solemn day of remembrance that the threat remains. And even now, the menace of global terrorism brings violence across the wider world to places like London and Paris and Barcelona. In Iraq and Syria, the barbarians known as ISIS continue to plot attacks against America, against our allies and all who cherish freedom. But under the leadership of President Donald Trump as our commander-in-chief, our armed forces have ISIS on the run in Iraq and Syria, and we will not rest or relent until we hunt down and destroy them at their source. And we also do well to remember that the perpetrators of 9/11 organized and orchestrated their attacks from a safe haven of Afghanistan. And just a few short weeks ago, President Trump renewed our commitment to see the fight in Afghanistan through to an honorable and enduring outcome that will be worthy of the tremendous sacrifices that have been made. Some 4 weeks ago, President Trump expressed the full commitment of the United States to, in his words, destroy terrorist organizations and the radical ideology that drives them. And so we will. America will remain engaged in Afghanistan until we eliminate the terrorist threat to our homeland and our people once and for all. We've made great gains. Our resolve is stronger than ever. And I promise you, together as one nation and one people, we will drive the cancer of terrorism from the face of the earth. We fight because our families deserve to live in safety and security. We fight because our fallen heroes demand justice. And so long as we have strength, we will honor their memories and do right by the people and the nation they died to defend. So I'm here on behalf of our president and all the American people to pay a debt of honor. A debt of honor to the heroes of Flight 93. A debt of honor to a generation of heroes that followed their inspiring example in and out of uniform, at home and abroad. But I'm also here to pay a debt of gratitude to the heroes of Flight 93 on a much more personal basis. For their actions on that day in these skies saved American lives. And as my wife Karen, who joins me here today, knows, it's a debt I don't think I'll ever be able to repay. Because among the many lives that were saved by their selfless courage, they might well have saved my own life that day, 16 years ago. You know, this isn't our first time standing in this field here in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Not more than a year after that fateful day, Karen and I brought our three small children here to this hallowed ground on a drive back from Washington to Indiana. That day, we did not find this extraordinary memorial. We found only a makeshift memorial. No more than a plywood wall painted with the names of the fallen, a timeline, and a wooden cross out in the field. It was that day, with the help of a park ranger, that I learned personally of the sequence of events that day. I asked her if the U.S. Capitol was in fact the target, what time would the plane have reached the Capitol building? And what she told me, I'll never forget. For at the time, she said, standing with hundreds of others, I was standing near the east front of the House of Representatives. I will always believe that I and many others in our nation's capital were able to go home that day to hug our families because of the courage and selflessness of the heroes of Flight 93. So for me, it's personal. And I speak on behalf of a grateful nation. But thank you for giving me the privilege of speaking on behalf of my little family as well. When heroes fall, the nation mourns. For no greater love is a man than this, that he should lay down his life for his friends. To the families of the fallen, as President Trump promised this morning, I say now, the memory of your loved ones will never die. They will always be with us. Their heroic story in our minds, our hearts, enshrined in the memory of this country. As long as America endures, we will tell their story, and generations of Americans will ever be inspired by the faithful and courageous words and deeds of the heroes of Flight 93. May God bless our beloved fallen. May God bless and comfort the families gathered here and all those who suffered loss on this day 16 years ago. And may God continue to bless the United States of America.
That's the Vice President, and pretty moving words. You know, his personal experience that day. Yeah, I think everybody's story is different. Joining me from Tampa, we'll talk about what's going on in Florida here in a minute, but we'll talk about 9/11 first. John Ubaldi from the Ubaldi Reports joins us. Master Guns, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning.
How where were you September 11th, 2001?
I was teaching in my church class that morning, because we teach the high school kids before they go off to school various church subjects, and before I went in, I heard one plane had crashed into the World Trade Center, and I thought, wow, that's odd. I thought it may have been cloudy, much a replication of a B-29 bomber slamming into the Empire State Building in 1945. When I came out, 45 minutes later, another plane had crashed, and I'm like, something's not right. And then by the time I got to work, then we knew this was a terror attack when three planes were, one down in Pennsylvania, one in Pennsylvania, one at the Pentagon, and two in the World Trade. Then you knew something was wrong, seriously wrong.
And so what city were you in?
I was in Sacramento.
Okay. I was up in North Dakota at the time. And, it certainly changed your life. It certainly changed my life.
Oh, it did, because as soon as that happened, I knew exactly what was going to happen. I was going to be called up. I volunteered, and within about a few weeks, I was activated and joined the MEF, and then I served my first anniversary of 9/11 in Afghanistan.
Where in Afghanistan?
I was up in Bagram. We flew into Kandahar, and then from there, we flew up into Bagram, and it was kind of eerie because on the flight to Bagram was the remains of three American airmen who had crashed in Afghanistan just days before I arrived.
What were you doing?
I was an augment to the Joint Task Force staff when they first initially went in. I was working in the operations section at the Bagram.
Wow. Wow, that seems forever ago.
It does. And then I went back to Afghanistan in 2012, worked in Camp Leatherneck with the 1st Marine Division while we were there, and did a tour in Iraq. So it's just kind of surreal how things change.
Right. No, my life impacted the same way. You know, first of all, I certainly wouldn't be here doing this had September 11th not happened. But my friends had called me and said, hey, we're going to war, after that? And I said, in Iraq. And I said, we're not going to Iraq. We're going to tie that thing up in Afghanistan. We're going to be done. And they said, oh, no, we're going. I said, whatever. But I was out of the Marine Corps. I was completely out of the Marine Corps.
Oh, and, wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and so they said, are you in the reserves? Can you get mobilized? Because, Mac, we're getting all these ass-bag reservists. You're funnier than most, and, we know you and love you, so we'd love to have you come back on. And I said, thanks for the endorsement, boys. And so I checked, and I was, like, out. And so I went through the process of how do you get reappointed. And so I put my package in, and I got a phone call from a guy on the board. He said, well, we're going to brief the general, but I just want to know that our recommendation is that you not be brought back on active duty. And no, you not be brought back on into the Marine Corps. And I said, why? I said, I would imagine that my OQR is pretty competitive. He said, oh, no. Of the ones we've looked at, you have the most exemplary record of anybody. I said, and? Well, you won't have enough time. We don't think you'll get promoted. You won't be able to retire, things like that, which is not a small factor in all of it. I said, okay. So now, unbeknownst to me, the head of the board is General Halick. He's a brigadier general. He's the guy who wrote my recommendation to come back was the commandant, right? At the time, Brigadier General Bob Neller. So Halick, well, I think on his way to the men's room, sees Neller. Being a fellow general officer, gives him the courtesy, goes, hey, just so you know, the guy you wrote the letter for, McNamara, the board's recommended that I not bring him back. Neller says, disregard what they say. Bring him back. He'll deploy. He'll do good things. And Halick wrote me a personal letter that got included in the package that I got sent. And so, like, great improbability. So then that was in the fall of 2003. I called him and said, hey, remember I told you they're not going to recommend it? Well, guess what? The general overrode him. And they said, don't touch anything. You'll come to the division. And we deploy in right after the first of the year. And then I was in Ramadi, which would ultimately lead me to work for General Mattis, General Kelly, and Colonel Joe Dunford. And so, again, I mean, life-changing, certainly life-changing events. The re-exposure of me and the Marine Corps certainly changed the life of my family. I have two sons that are serving in the Marine Corps. I don't know that either one would have chosen that had they not been exposed to it as teenagers, met guys that I served with, got a chance to know them, you know, and experience the things they experienced because of my service. And it has changed their lives. So it's crazy to look back on the how this affects your life. And in both of our cases, affected our lives in huge ways.
No, well, it did because I was sent to the IRR because I was bypassed for promotion. Not anything I did. Is up until 2000, 2001, they had too many 0369. They couldn't keep everybody. So I had two sergeant majors, said, go in the IRR, work with an MTU unit, do your points and everything, and then Troop 9/11 comes along and back on and got promoted to Master Sergeant and Master Gunny, and next thing is history. I thought I was just going to do my 2 years and out at 20.
Wow.
So it's just strange. And I would have been in Tampa if it wasn't for 9/11.
Right. No, I mean, it's, you know, and all the people that really have come on, this program, their lives have been profoundly impacted. You know, Bob Nielsen you hear all the time. And so it's just, you know, I had no intention really of kind of going down memory lane when I started this morning, but watching the vice president, you know, the vice president's speech, pretty moving speech, you know, him talking about the flight that went down in Pennsylvania was headed for the Capitol, and they were informed that it was 12 minutes out. And, wow, you know, and he talked about that it was personal, that those 40 people on Flight 93 didn't go home that night, and possibly, you know, saved his life. And he did go home that night.
Well, but it's also personal for him because maybe without 9/11, his son never would have joined the Marines.
No, I think probably, you know, his son probably, actually, his son, I don't know if you've ever listened to the opening of the program, but in the opening, I play this little bit of motivation here. Okay. Okay, that is done. That is Patrick's OCS class in the rotunda of the National Museum of the Marine Corps. Pence's kid graduated in that, was in that OCS class. Pence was there that day. And,
Wow.
Yeah, and then small world kind of stuff. You know, you always hear the Marine Corps is not that big. It ain't. And so, no, his son probably had the, very much the same experience. The nation goes to war. He goes to funerals with his father. Right? And so, you know, young teenage boys incredibly affected, by what they see and the example of courage and selflessness. I know had an indelible, effect on my two sons. So, no, you're right. You're right. Change again.
It does.
The way those events have rippled through our country. You know, the other thing I was thinking about is one of the organizations that I love is this organization right here.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper.
That fund was started by wives of members of the Blue Diamond, the 1st Marine Division. And I don't know how many millions of dollars on an annual basis. They I want to say it's their I want to say, I mean, their budget's gone to something like $40 million annually. I'll double check that. But that all started with them trying to help other families with all the different expenses that went around. If you're wounded and you've got to fly to, you know, you want to go fly to see your husband, you try to take your kids with you, your kids in daycare, you know, all the different uncompensated expenses that, you know, that families go through. And out of that, they've changed so many lives by starting that organization. So the way it ripples through all of us is pretty amazing.
No, but the thing is with the Semper Fi Fund, I would agree with you. It's a great charity. It's very well run. It's rated as one of the best veteran charities by Charity Navigator. And we had a friend of mine who was a Master Gunnery Sergeant passed away back in 2013 with pancreatic cancer. And the Semper Fi Fund flew his family from the Philippines to be with them before he passed away. So it is a remarkable organization, and it's extremely well run.
Oh, my. Let me just tell you, one of the things that leaps out at you how do you judge, you know, charities? One of the ways, and again, it goes back to our growing up in the Marine Corps, you know, getting sat down and handed the combined federal campaign. Well, who do I give to? What do I look at? And I can remember as a second lieutenant being told, you know, give to somebody who, you know, you like what they do. You know, that's what everybody used to give, right? Now, you know, our numbers, it's kind of a sad thing. Now people can do it electronically, and it's not like filling out the form. Hey, McNamara, have you given to CFC? You know, and the way you didn't give was you like filled the form out and says, no, I don't want to give. Well, who did that? Nobody. And, right?
None
of that. So combined federal campaign, man, they got a lot of money out of us. Anyway, but I got told, like, look at the amount of money that you give that's going to get to the ultimately get to the organization. And that's one of the things you want to look at. Oh, okay.
Well,
if you look at the Semper Fi Fund and the amount of money that you give that ultimately gets to where it's going to go, it's one of the highest you'll see in any nonprofit.
Yeah, it's almost about, if I remember right, it's almost about 98% of all money raised goes to the actual cause.
Yeah, it's like between 96
That's
and
hot.
Yeah, it's been 90 between 96 and 98. It's incredible. It's incredible.
That's high.
Yeah. But that's exactly what you'd expect, right? From, you know, women whose husbands were actively serving in combat. They get it. They live it. And those women, it's interesting. You know, back when the war started, we didn't have the family readiness officers. It was all done by key wives. And it was just too much.
Or they put somebody, because that was one of my collateral duties, was to be the, key wife coordinator. I can't remember what they called it at the time. But it was overwhelming. You got all the other jobs to do, and this was thrown into your plate. Oh, yeah, you can do it. You're good with people. You're in charge of this. The family readiness officer, that was it. You're the family readiness officer. No one knew what you did or how to do it. You do it.
So what happened was, you know, again, we weren't getting onesies and twosies casualties, right? Especially in Iraq in 2004. And these women, through all of it, you know, hung in there with other families. And so out of that came a professional network. And again, part of that was General Conway's doing. And his wife was instrumental in all of that went on at Camp Pendleton in the days of 1MEF in 2004. She lived it. So, again, it's just that we're talking about, kind of got off here a little bit, but the way September 11th has impacted so many people, so many organizations around the United States that have done such great things. So, John Ubaldi, my guest, he of the Ubaldi Reports, retired Marine Corps Master Gunnery Sergeant, a proud 0311, hump a lot. And,
you got it. You know.
I know. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get an update on Florida. Where are you physically located?
I'm in Valrico, which is it's in the same county as Tampa. It's just a few miles away.
Got it. All right, we're going to get an update from Master Guns on what's going on in Florida, how he thinks they've done, and what the experience has been like in the Tampa area. So. More of All Marine Radio on a day that we remember, September 11th, coming up next right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Yeah. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled machine anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. farewell promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global SOF Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marine.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner, proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Page 17 on a Monday, day that we remember the 16th anniversary of the events on September 11th. Mindful of that, and also I think something that has dominated the news from the middle of last week into the weekend is Hurricane Irma. So John Ubaldi down there in the middle of it. First of all, give us an update on. That thing went through, was in the process of getting through Tampa. Where is it exactly, and how's life been so far?
Northern Florida bypassed early this morning through Tampa. The big brunt went into Lakeland, which is just a little bit outside of Tampa. So there's been damage. There's some flooding, and now they're just doing assessment. It seems like the Florida Keys got a brunt of it. Down up into the west shore of Florida around by Naples. So they're still doing the assessment. So, but it was kind of eerie going into Sunday. Everybody had their windows boarded up with either plywood or just metal sheeting. And it was just like waiting for the Chinese horde to come over the horizon with their horns. It was just a weird feeling. And then I was evacuated on Friday afternoon. So I've been staying at a friend's house in the eastern part of Hillsborough County, which is the county that Tampa is located in.
All right. Tell me about so was evacuation mandatory, or how do they do that? It can't be mandatory, is it?
They did it by zone, and this is all depends because there was a deputy sheriff in my church. He mentioned that when he got called up for a hurricane in subsequent years, when they said mandatory, they were saying, you are getting out, no ifs, ands, or buts. Here, it was mandatory, but over time, they say, hey, if you stay, you're on your own. Don't call 911. We will not be coming to get you. And in the place that I lived, in the complex I lived in, they said it was mandatory. If you stay, let us know where you're at, and then we'll come look for you after everybody can come in, but nobody's coming to you if you remain. So I just got out just so I didn't want to impact first responders, and I think that was a smart call, and I would have told anybody else. You told them to evacuate, evacuate.
Especially when there's no reason for you to stay.
No, there's no reason. I mean, if you're staying for your property, and that was the thing that this disaster or this hurricane, I know it was the largest one in a number of years, but the governor and FEMA told everybody that was in high-risk areas, get out while it was still dry. There was no rainstorms coming in like previous disasters they've had. Like I know Hurricane Katrina, that was the case. They waited until it was too late, and they told everybody to evacuate when it's in the midst of the storm instead of doing this way in advance. So they did some good things. And then the other thing they mentioned is if you do evacuate, go to family and friends first and use shelters or evacuation centers last. Because when you go to an evacuation center, that means the city and the county have to provide all the resources. Just easier and cheaper to go to where your family and friends are.
Interesting. The talk to me about the preparations. I think by any account, you have to give Florida extremely high marks for the way they prepared the state.
Well, they did, because Governor Scott, back in the middle of last week, he activated the National Guard, and he put them in key strategic locations. So they didn't have to activate them in the midst of the disaster. They were already pre-staged. And then the U.S. military sent its amphibious ships down. Well, I think one of them was the Kearsarge that was used in Texas. And then they brought down a Mew. Marine Expeditionary Unit down from Norfolk, and then the carrier, the Abraham Lincoln, was sitting off the coast of Florida ready to be used in any capacity they needed to be used at. So they were set to go. I think they gave them high marks. I mean, there's things you could always do better, but I think they were really given high marks. The city, the county, the federal government worked extremely well in preventing what could have been a catastrophe.
Yeah, I don't know that I've ever seen anybody do it better, to be honest with you, because my major criticism, as people who listen to the show will know, is why don't you use some of those military assets and stage them before, be they active duty or reserve, I don't care, and get them there before, because by the time you go, you know, it's interesting, I had an emergency manager on, and he said, well, the way we normally do it is we use up our assets, then we request more, and yeah, it's too. You can't get them there quick enough. They're affected too. You can get them there before, that tends not to be the way they do it.
But that's a good point. Is why not bring them on, whether you need them or not? At least they're ready to go. Now, on Saturday, they brought in the there's a reserve unit in Tampa. It's an AAV unit, and you saw Amtrak going up the main thoroughfare of Del Mabry to Raymond James Stadium, where the Buccaneers play at. And they staged the reserves there with all its, five-ton, seven-ton trucks, its Hummers, its AAVs. AAVs can go through anything. So they were ready to go in case they needed, let's get them there, and that takes time. So I would give them very, very high marks for being well-prepared, well-organized. And the other thing is, you got so many updates on social media. All the news stations were plugged into social media. All the government organizations were plugged into social. You were not wanting for any type of information. Even my complex sent out the word through social media. So everyone did a really good job. Now, you always want to do improvement, so let's look back what could have been done better and fix those challenges.
I couldn't give. And then I'll tell you what, the governor, I mean, you couldn't turn on the TV without that guy being on TV. I mean, it's constant flow of information to the citizens. All, you know, again, I don't know that I've ever seen a more orderly preparation for something this big in my life. I don't know that you can fault the state of Florida in anything that they've done so far. I mean, they again, and primarily because of their proactive nature. Now, I'll ask you a question. Do you think that it being so big and having just watched Hurricane Harvey, do you think that contributed to the ease of which and the proactive nature that they took?
Well, that was one aspect. I do agree that because it was such a large hurricane and what happened with Hurricane Harvey, but Florida is known for hurricanes. And I think the state took a big cue for what happened at Hurricane Katrina. Because if you looked at Governor Scott, he was always calm and cool and collective, at least what they saw in front of the camera. Go back to Governor Blanco, she was just like, she was overwhelmed. She didn't know what to do. And that fear, being a leader, you've got to remain calm in a disaster type situation because that breeds fear. People see it's you're in trouble, like what else are you not telling them? And that was the one thing I think Governor Scott did. He was always given information. When he got it, he relayed that information. And that made everybody else calm about what was going on. Everybody knew where to go, what was going on. They just need to always keep revamping their emergency preparedness procedures. So you never want to rest on your laurels.
Is there anything that you don't think they did well? I mean, you've been living it.
I would like to see what kind of coordination they had. I haven't seen it with what kind of coordination they had with some of the nonprofits, or the coordinations was maybe some of the city and county elements. But that would all come out in an after-action report when this is all said and done. But I was pleased with everything they did. There was no want of information from social media, the media, and the government. You could get anything you wanted at any time. But you still always want to revamp your procedures. What could we have done better?
Right. No. But again, you have to give them high marks, yes, for what they've done across the board.
No, I would give them high marks. I mean, from day one, when we first knew about this, they were telling everybody, get prepared, get 72-hour kits. If you have to leave your house, make sure you leave. They gave you procedures. What would you do if you had to leave your house? How do you prepare your homes? The only thing I would probably say for people is, this is the citizens, is we live in a hurricane state. Maybe if you have a house, start buying plywood and metal sheeting before the hurricane comes. Like for next season, go out and buy the plywood and the sheetings you're going to need and just stage it either in your garage or on the side of your house so you have these items. But for the government standpoint, they did it. I would give them extremely high marks.
Correct me, but a lot of people, because when you go to buy it, normally it isn't there, right? You got to fight plywood, I'm sure, in the greater Florida area. Tough to come by last week.
Oh, my gosh. It was huge. Tough to come back. I went to an Ace store, hardware store, on Saturday, and my gosh, that was like 2 hours long line. But it's all coming down.
Wow.
But it all comes down to personal preparedness yourself. If you know that you live in a high hurricane area, and Tampa's really not known for getting the hurricanes. We get the thunderstorms and everything. I think the last hurricane came here was, you know, decades ago. So everybody kind of lulls into complacency. But I think if you have a home, I think this storm may do it. Get prepared before next season. Like, get the plywood out, stage it, get your metal sheeting, maybe get your generator or whatever you're going to need to be there. And if you're in a flood area, prepare your house for maybe potential flooding. See if you can divert some of the water somewhere else.
All right. I'll read you an email. Mac, I lived in Florida for years. I don't live there anymore. But one of the things I used to do was after all of this passed, maybe a month or so after things got a little bit normal, I would go buy what I needed for the next iteration. I knew exactly how many pieces of plywood I needed, and I'd just take the list. I'd go down and I'd buy it. I'd put it all in my garage. And then the only thing really that I would need would be sand to sandbag certain low areas of my property to try to keep some of the water out. And so I think those that are professional down in Florida, they know. People that are last-minute buyers of plywood are kind of stupid, in my opinion. I appreciate Master Gunn's report. It sounds like things went pretty well. That's a great thing, and it's probably as good as it gets. I do agree with you though. Pre-staging the military should be required. Any thoughts on that? The pros?
No,
do the logistics early?
I agree. I think what he said, first of all, was everybody needs to get prepared your house for the next storm or next year's hurricane. But I do agree that the military should be pre-staged, pre-prepared, and ready to go. But I think the other aspect is civilians also need to understand the capabilities of what the military can provide, because you talk about when we led into this with 9/11, but we've got a big chasm where people don't understand what the military can bring. They just think we're a war fighting, which is true, but we bring in logistics, communications, transportation. Our equipment can go anywhere. We can sustain ourselves anywhere around the world. No other nation has that ability. And I think that needs to be pushed into our local government.
Yeah, I would tell you, I mean, we've talked about this before, but most emergency managers have no idea, you know, what they think of, like, well, if the military comes, what are they going to need from us? And the answer, the answer is very little. But that blows them away, because in the midst of all these other burdens, now the military comes and they're going to add an additional burden. And the answer to that is we will be transparent. Okay. We will stage outside the area at our own base. We will have liaison officers in your EOC if you can give us a little desk. And if you can do that and then provide us your comm plan, our aviation people will plug into your air control people. And then just tell us what you want us to do. And they look at you like, that's it? Like, yeah, we're here to help, man. We're not here to hinder the thing.
Well, exactly. Because remember when we were at the MEF or at MHG, they had that exercise up in San Francisco during Fleet Week. And you're right. Officers went to the meetings and said, here's what we can provide. We don't need any of that stuff. We become self-sufficient. Just tell us where you want us to go, and away we go. And then I don't think people are aware also of the naval vessels can provide electricity for major of these metropolitan areas in the event of a catastrophic shutdown of utility grid.
No, and again,
and
it's...
We have all that.
Right, no. There's a lot of stuff the military...
And then with, like, I was in civil affairs, and that's all we did in civil affairs was disaster management. I did things in Thailand and Philippines with natural disasters there. We just plug right in. We bring in our assets, and away we go. And there's really no place that we can't go.
Email for you. Mac, I'm curious, Master Guns is down in the Tampa area. Have they seen much flooding? I know I saw that the storm surge in the Keys was estimated to be 12 feet. What about in the Tampa area? Is everything okay? It sounds like things are going pretty much as they expected them to go. Pretty amazing given the size of the storm. Master Guns?
There's areas of Tampa. I've called to different individuals that I know in different areas of Tampa. Typically, the areas that flood were typically the areas that flooded during this storm, but we didn't get the mass flooding that we could have gotten. And I think a lot of that has to do with in 2015, Tampa got these huge thunderstorms for like 4 weeks, and we got like 30 to 35 inches in a four-week period. And there was a lot of massive flooding, and then the city and even in the county did a lot of flood control abatement work, like cleaned up the canals, the sewer lines, make sure water can flow fast as much as possible. So I think they did, and that's what I would say all cities and counties and state government need to do, is they need to prepare hand, not right. Wait till the crisis happens.
Yeah, all that has a cost, though. You know, you have to have the money to, you know, to do that. And when you're talking about, you know, widening pipes, I mean, that's all a lot of money that goes into those local programs. And sometimes they have it, sometimes they don't. And you know, Florida's done this before, but wow, here's another email. Hey Mac, is electricity up? How is Master Guns talking? Is the power grid still intact? And obviously the cell phone thing is working, so, you know, I thought that would be one of the things that would go early. Interesting.
Certain areas have power. I was lucky enough where I am, I've had power. So, and it's just all, it's spotty, but most people do have power. But going to a previous point that you made about the cost of everything, I just look at, in your state, California, when the Oroville Dam during this or late winter of this year, and when they did a report, it was buried by the state of California. It showed that it was mismanagement, shoddy construction, not wanting to do the preventative maintenance that you do. It's like having a car. If you maintain your car, it lasts. If you don't, it's going to break. So this is where city and government need to get together and quit wasting its money and make sure we spend the money effectively. And that's my bone I have against government, is that a lot of times they waste their money and they always complain they don't have it when it's mismanagement which causes most of the problems.
And those are a lot of those are state funds, state and federal funds, that when you're talking about Oroville. You're talking about the mismanagement of a repair they did on a causeway, and again, remember your rifle's made by the lowest bidder. Don't forget that.
Well, it is, but also because I still follow California, I still plug into some of the news outlets, and like there's one guy named Dan Walters at California Matters. And he mentioned that the mismanagement, the Department of Transportation budget, it's one of the largest in the country, but California has one of the worst infrastructure. Like when they did the second span or the new span to the Bay Bridge, it was like supposed to be $1.something billion, and it turned into $6 billion. And then they had shoddy workmanship by bringing in Chinese steel versus American, and it just was a mess. And there was, then you want to give the same government more money to build the high-speed rail and also put water tunnels underneath the Delta? Those are some serious questions to ask.
Yeah, no, well, it is. I got here's another email question for you. Mac, I'm really surprised that the cell tower system has held up. Normally that takes a pretty big hit in all this stuff. I'm wondering, does Florida, given its penchant for hurricanes, has Master Guns ever seen any discussion over the requirements when towers are put up, what they have to physically be able to stand? Because if he's still talking to you via cell phone, that's obviously a fairly robust system.
Well, what they've done, and when the hurricane hit Miami a couple of years ago, they had a lot of damage. So now they reevaluate their engineering, the materials they use. So they have to meet a certain category of hurricane forced winds. It's much like California goes through when they have earthquakes. They're always reevaluating its engineering design to make sure they have the best materials and design structure to face what they're facing. And I believe cell phone towers were the same thing. They have to meet a certain design strength. Like they have cranes down in Miami. I know one collapsed, but they also have to meet hurricane wind strength if they remain up.
Yeah, I saw that a second one had collapsed as well. But again, that speaks well, obviously, to the and I'll link this to events in Mexico. There an 8.1, right? The largest earthquake in Mexican history hit off the coast there last week. And when you look at that, you think about the death toll is less than 100 people. That's absolutely positively amazing. And a lot of times, what this is construction standards that have changed over time, that has helped mitigate, you know, a lot of the damage that gets caused. And now I don't know that to be 100% the case in Mexico, but I think the things you're seeing in Mexico, the things you're seeing in Houston are modifications that have been made to the system to help it not be as destructive, over time. And I think you're starting to see those things pay off because we've been doing it for a fair amount of time.
Well, you do. I mean, remember when Mexico City had its earthquake in 1985, it was thousands died. Now, I'm not sure where the Mexican earthquake was in relationship to major metropolitan areas, but they always have to look. Now, I know Houston has to look, because that's a lot of floodplain area. They also have to look at when do you release water, how do you do things. So you're always having to upgrade your infrastructure, look at what we could have done differently, but you have to maintain your infrastructure and always adjust your building codes to face the things that you're going to face. And out here in Florida, I guarantee it, they're going to be looking at engineering design flaws. What could we have done better? Is there better material out there to withstand? A lot of the residential homes put up storm windows, hurricane storm windows. The buildings have to be a certain level to withstand that strength. I got a friend of mine who has a home down in the Keys. His place lasted because he has a building structure to withstand 160 mile an hour winds. So all these things need to be looked at.
Right. The one more email. Mac, any idea? I'm reading stories about all these people without power, and Master Guns, have they lost power at all during this event?
I didn't lose power, but I know friends and people throughout Tampa who've lost power, but they're gaining it back. That goes to the fortitude of the utility crews out there, and they were, again, they were pre-staged to go and fix these and maintain those that were typically go out in any storm that we normally have.
Wow. Wow. But no, it is pretty amazing. It is pretty amazing, given the size of the storm.
I mean, I thought there would be more damage. I mean, there's the stuff outside you treat, you know, branches, leaves, and all that stuff, but it could have been far more destructive. And that goes to pre-planning, that goes to engineering, that goes to the building trade, making sure we're always keeping up with the latest technology with, material development, and they're seeing it down in Miami. It could have been far worse.
Right. But again, I mean, when you're talking about Lakeland, you're talking about it not being out at sea. You're talking about it being, you know, through a little bit east of Tampa.
Yeah, a little east of Tampa, right before Orlando.
Right.
And again, but it still goes back to
after each disaster we have in America, we're always reevaluating our building code. Do we need to go up? Do we have the technology for the building materials? That's what they did in Miami to prevent these sort of things. And with our architecture design, you can, you know, fit rid of the building structure so when the wind comes at this direction, it offsets it. Because the wind is usually higher way up above than it is below. So all these things have to be factored in.
My guest, John Ubaldi, he of the Ubaldi Reports. Master Guest, I've got about three more emails for you on questions about being in and around Tampa. I got to take a break. We'll take a break, and then we'll come back and answer those, and then we'll let you go.
All right, will do.
From the Ubaldi Report, retired Marine Corps Master Gunnery Sergeant, 0369, John Ubaldi, is my guest this morning. We'll talk about Steve Bannon tomorrow. That can wait a day. All Marine Radio continues right after this. Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military, for a first responder, for a hunter, for an outdoorsman, or somebody that just likes cool military stuff? I've got the perfect gift for you, the Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. Battlemug.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the South community should be aware of.
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
...8:51 here on a Monday morning, September 11th, to mark the 16th anniversary of events in Pennsylvania, the nation's capital, and New York City. Events that have changed the lives of just about everybody you've heard on All Marine Radio. The Master Gun John Ubaldi in the Tampa area right now, coincidentally, and so we're talking to him about the weekend and about what's gone on. Hey, Mac, I'm curious. I thought I heard Master Guns talking about Amtraks. Is that a reserve Amtrak unit that was down there, or were those Amtraks that were brought over from Camp Lejeune?
No, that was a reserve unit, reserve Amtrak unit.
Okay. All right. So they were mobilized ahead of the storm, and then put into the city.
Correct. And they're just like a few miles away from Raymond James. So it wasn't that that far, but it was just kind of interesting to see Amtraks going up the main thoroughfare of Del Mabry. I don't think most civilians seen that.
It looks pretty cool, though.
I thought it was awesome to see.
But it does look odd, doesn't it? I saw it in Dallas. You know, you see these, and they look much. Amtraks look huge. When you see them on base, you know they're just Amtrak. But then you see them in a residential area, like at a gas station or something, and you're like, wow, those things are monstrous.
They are. They're just amazing. But it was just for the civilians to see this stuff, because most civilians never see this stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, for us, it's all born.
Yeah, but it is kind of cool to see them to roll around. My great frustration expressed often on this program is we want to help. And just, you know, even if it's for a short period of time till we get put back in our cage on our active duty bases, we want to help. And we have some pretty incredible devices that work in all weather, and we can communicate, we can sustain ourselves. And, you know, it's good practice. It makes us, you know, get ready to deploy, you know, motor marches, all the movement. It's not combat operations, but what they have in common is you're responding to real world events. You're doing the coordination, the movement pieces, and the decision making that you do in combat. And so they're good exercises for everybody.
And then for the pilots, they can fly in all weather, all types of like darkness. They get all that training, and it's just. But I think it also goes back to civilians not knowing the capability of what the military can provide. Because you've gone a long way, even in Congress, there's only like less than 20% who have military experience. They really don't know what the U.S. military can provide. And it's sad.
All right. Next email. Mac, what about the road system in all this? I would imagine that Tampa, being used to this, with the exception of certain low areas that I'm sure they could tell you about, the roadways do okay. Is that the case, Master Gun?
No, that is the case. There have some tree branches have come down, some debris was on some of the main roads, but the city and the county and the state were very well prepared to get all this stuff out. They get it out of the main heavy traffic areas. They're telling everybody, stay off the road, especially early this morning, so everybody wants to go out and look around. Stay off. A lot of the lights went down, so we got to get them back up again. So it's just telling everybody to be careful. And that was the same thing during the storm. Don't go out if you don't need to go out.
All right, pretty basic stuff. Another email. Mac, did Master Guns watch Steve Bannon last night, or was he too busy?
I didn't watch Steve Bannon. I mean, for myself, I'm not a big Steve Bannon fan. I think he put himself above the country. I don't know the guy, never met the guy, just from what I've read. I agree with what General Kelly has done with the Trump White House to bring discipline and order, which needs to happen. So I thought it was a good idea for Steve Bannon to go to another career or go back to Breitbart where he came from.
He seems much more comfortable with her. Again, and the comment I would make is it's one thing to campaign. It's another thing to attempt to govern and make
Correct.
Things happen. You know, you can talk about war fighting, and then you can go do it. Doing it's harder. And then in counterinsurgency, when you try to actually build something because the State Department isn't there, USAID isn't there, the only thing's there that's the military, you can have eggheads who sit in the United States and talk about it, and then you can come try to do it with us. And you'll see the real-world problems that we exist, that exist with us. The people, they want to help us, but they can't because they'll get their brains blown out. That's the bottom line in community. So, and I would kind of draw the same parallel with Bannon. You know, it's one thing to talk theoreticals and all this other nonsense. It's another thing to go in and be part of something and then try to create and solve the problems that you're talking about. He seems much more comfortable and tailored for bloviating in the media, not getting things actually done.
And that's the point that I liked with Trump's cabinet. I mean, I know people can go either way on that, but he brought people in who are not theorists and academics. There's a place for theorists and academics, but you need people who know how to start a business, who know how to raise capital, who know how to manage those things because they've done it. And you need those in the foreign policy, in the military community, who've actually done something, just didn't study it. That's a whole different ballgame. You need that group, but you need the practitioners who know how to get those things implemented.
I absolutely agree. When you get people that think they can do both, sometimes those people are a fish out of water. And I think Bannon was a fish out of water in the administration. And let him go. Let him do his stuff.
And then the thing is, with General Kelly, General Mattis, and General McMasters and the like, they're putting the country first. Bannon, I believe, and the surrogates put themselves and their policies first. You got to put America first. That's the whole purpose. I know I'm paraphrasing his catchphrase, but
right.
America's got to go first.
Yeah, wait. Are you drawing a paycheck from him? What the hell? Wait, here's another email that's actually an interesting quote, or an interesting question, and then I'll let you go. Mac, I'm curious about Master Gunn's thoughts on whether the President of the United States last week, by his deal with the Democrats, served notice that he will be an independent president, which will fundamentally change the office. What do you think? There's much discussion. There's much discussion, and you have presidential historians saying that he is changing the face of the Oval Office, because heretofore we have been a two-party system. Now, if he this is quintessentially Donald Trump. He's not, you know, he was a Manhattan liberal. Now he's a Republican. Okay? He, I would say by definition, is a populist. He wants to see progress for the American people, and he'll make deals. He is not going to be welded to any party. But that reshapes...
But see,
go ahead.
What I was going to say is, I think the problem with it is, I think what Donald Trump did is push the debt ceiling debate back into December, so now the whole debate is on tax reform. But we've, over the last number of years, we've gotten away from where whether a Republican or Democratic president would work with the other side. We've got it, well, if I'm a Republican, I can't work with the Democrats. And what people need to realize, Ronald Reagan worked effectively with Tom Foley, but what was that one? It was the one speaker, Tip O'Neill. They both worked really well. And there was another congressman from Chicago, Rose Kinkowski.
Yeah, he just got out of prison. But talk to me. Those days are gone, though. People don't compromise.
They are gone.
People don't compromise. And what the president did was, he said last week, "I'm not having this. I need this stuff done. I need to focus on this." And the Republicans haven't delivered, so I'll deal with the Democrats. And that's, like, what?
But see, but that's the problem. Everybody, both political parties, if you listen to them, forget the way the person sits on the political spectrum, it's always what's best for the Republicans or what's best for the Democrats. Nobody talks about what's best for the middle class of America.
No, they all talk about it. They just never deliver on it.
They never deliver. And you talk about, like, over the summer, it was the big health care debate. But nobody's talking about November 1st. Everybody's going to see another 25 to 30% increase. You've got a lot of individuals paying $10,000 for a deductible of $1,000 or more of a copay. You can't even afford your own health insurance.
Well, no, the truth is, and talk to people in the health care business, that's right, that you may have a policy, but it's not like you can go use it. You can go to physical therapy, and it costs you $250 every time you go, because that's the copay. Who's going? You're not going. Anybody that bought that policy isn't going. So I don't know what to say about it. Other than the Republican Party. And the Democrats too. Look,
are broke.
The Dreamer Act, right? That was done 5 years ago by President Obama. 5 years ago. And in the meantime, look, and there's got to be a security component to this solution for immigration. But you got to. If we deal with 11 million people, we can't then turn around and create another 11 million people that we have to deal with. Okay? We have to say, look, we're going to deal with this. It's an anomaly in our country. One time, you're going to go do this. But we can't do this until the southern border is under control. And that's got to be a component of it.
But even on this point, everybody's really ripping on President Trump for what he did with the DACA. But the one thing people failed to realize, and he said that this is Congress's job. You may huff and puff. It's just like Congressman Gutierrez out of Chicago made a very disrespectful remark to General Kelly.
You're not worthy of the uniform that you wore.
Uniform. And like, maybe you should do your job, Congressman. You, the one who writes the laws. What President Obama did, whether you agree with him or not, he took the powers away from the legislative branch. He cannot write or change the law. That's Congress's purview. Do your job, and that's what Trump did. You guys do it. That's what you get $200,000 a year for. Do it. Don't punt and whine and moan. And that's what Congress has been doing over the last few decades.
That's all. What do you mean? That's all they do. That's all they do. All right. Let me ask you this. What's on tap the rest of the day? Just hang out and wait for this thing to get by?
Basically, I got to go around and see if people I know are all right, help people kind of clean up their yards and stuff, and then wait till I can get back to my house because I'm still in an internal displaced civilian mode.
How long do you think it'll be? And how far away is your place, and how long do you think?
I'm about 35 minutes away from my place, but since I've heard, there's been no really outages, no flooding in my area, so I think I'll be fine. So I'm guessing sometime this afternoon, there's another announcement coming out, I believe about 2:00 Eastern time. So hopefully they'll give us some input that I can go back.
Got it. All right. We will check in with you. I'd be curious. I'll give you a call later. Maybe I want to play Banyan's remarks. Because he got after the Republican Party, gets after John Kelly, and maybe we'll play those again, and then tomorrow we'll stop it every so often and get thoughts. So I'll give you a call later.
All right, have a good day and be safe out in sunny California.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for us. You should probably take your own advice.
Have a good day.
All right. There you have it. John Ubaldi of the Ubaldi Report. You find it on the internet, ubaldireports.com. reports.com. We're going to take a break. The Gunner's going to join us. More of on a Monday. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the group can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it. Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military, for a first responder, for a hunter, for an outdoorsman, or somebody that just likes cool military stuff? I've got the perfect gift for you. The Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with a serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. BattleMug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOC community should be aware of.
The Global SOC Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsocfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.